It's okay. Almost Halloween.
Yes, it is.
Isn't that like your second favorite holiday of the year?
Yes, it is. It really is. And Christmas is my favorite.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah.
I'm excited about that. And we'll be exploding Christmas here before long.
Yeah. And this will be our first real Christmas together.
Right.
Yeah. It'll be our second Christmas, but our first one together.
Together. Settled a little more than last year.
Yeah.
We were just like a weekend.
I know. It kind of felt like a vacation almost.
It was weird. We came here, though.
We came here. And you were sick the whole time.
Yeah, I had COVID.
You had the COVID.
I had the COVID. I walked in the COVID.
And I drug you all over the countryside. So
you did.
I'm sorry, baby.
But you were good. And I made it. I'm here. I'm alive.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
So.
Let me get sick.
All right, move yourself around, do your thing.
Okay.
So, for Halloween, though, I'm kind of excited. This is a new type of episode.
Yes,
it is. What makes it new?
Well, I'm incorporating some cookie recipes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's what this is right here.
Yeah, it is. So, there's a peanut butter cookie with the Hershey Kiss on top, you know.
One of my favorites.
You love those.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is a Rice Krispie treat that I have put food dye in and made it look like a pumpkin.
It looks like a little pumpkin.
Little pumpkin.
Yeah.
So I thought cookies and crime might be kind of fun.
Well, the grandbabies will love that. I can't wait till they get over here to see your cookies.
We sound like two really old.
That's all right, though. We're not getting any younger, so we might as well.
This is true.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Walking Between Shadows. I'm Taryn Elliott. And along with me is my amazing husband.
I'm Ben Elliott.
And we're here to talk about true crime all the time.
So you've got a new case.
And I do.
It's a pretty big case. It made national news.
It did. And it just caught my interest because it was these two faces of these boys that just looked very, very young, but we'll get into that, and let's start it.
Yeah, it seems like it's very vicious, so I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about it.
This took place not here in Tennessee, like we usually do, but this took place in a town or city called Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And this happened in 2015.
Yeah.
There was a big family there. And when I say big, I mean seven children.
Big. So there was nine of them in the house.
There was nine in the family. Lived in a subdivision somewhat. The mother was April Bever. Father was David Bever. Mm-hmm. He was 52 years old. The mother was 44 years old. And they had seven children.
Yeah.
From the ages of 18 to 2 years old. Robert, the oldest, was 18. Michael was 16. There was Crystal, who was 13 years old. Daniel was 12. Christopher was 7. Victoria was 5. And Autumn was 2.
Wow.
Right. They were a very reclusive family. I mean, they did not get out much. I think they went to church every now and then, but she homeschooled these children.
Mm-hmm.
April was active on Reddit. I mean, you can find some posts that she made about staying home with children and how important it is to teach them about technology. Her husband, David, was in the tech industry, and I was able to provide for this family, I suppose. I mean, the house was...
It was huge.
It was huge. It would have to be.
It was like 6,000 square feet.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were all inside this home all the time, except for church, and that's it.
Well, and the oldest, you know, had a job, so he was out a little bit there.
Well, in 2014, the summer of 2014, Robert, who was at the time 17 years old,
so, did they interact with their neighbors at all? I mean...
No.
Okay, so they really stayed in the house.
And it reminds me of that story out of California, I believe, of the kids that were in the house,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't leave. I mean, there's several stories like this. There was a, like the wolf pack. I mean, that was in New York, I believe, where the kids just don't leave the house, and
mm-hmm.
mom stays home, and she homeschools.
Okay.
But in the summer of 2014, Robert was 17 at the time, and he got a job working through like a church answering call service, pray for you kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And with that money, he started buying an arsenal of everything you could imagine, weapons wise. I mean, knives, gear.
Yeah.
You know more about weapons and all that than I do. I do not.
I mean, he was buying ammo and guns and knives. And
right.
He also was buying body armor and stuff like that.
Right.
To protect himself.
So he was closest to his, next to the oldest child was named Michael. And he was 16. And then you can see there's several videos of Robert and Michael on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They were gamers. I mean, it looked like they were into the video games and absolutely loved the Columbine killers.
Yeah, so this family, it sounds like, wasn't a stranger to social media.
Not much. I mean, they didn't get out in public much, but like I said, the mother, April, she was active on Reddit, talking about how it is affordable to, you know, you can afford to stay home with your children and have seven kids, and you can do all these things, which, you know, that's a matter of opinion. And
mm-hmm.
anyway, so that was what she was kind of, the only thing she was really active on was Reddit. But now Robert and Michael were active on YouTube and expressed a lot of violence on there. They were also into the games and things like that. Violence. And like I said, the Columbine killings. So those were their idols. And you have to think, they're homeschooled. So their school is at home. And their teachers and their students are their family.
Mm.
Parent and their siblings. In 2014, when the summer when Robert had the job working for the answering service for the church, the money he was getting, he was buying all these things.
Yeah.
Him and Michael had decided, you know, they were gonna do some damage. Crystal, who was 13 years old, actually told April, their mother, around this time, you know, they're getting it, Mom, they're getting in all this gear, knives.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
It scared her.
It scared her.
Yeah.
And the mother, April, came back with boys will be boys. You know.
And you know that little sister just kept pushing. Because, I mean, she had to have been terrified.
Yeah.
Because they'd already probably said some pretty nasty stuff that she heard.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know that, or there's no testimony to that, but.
They're there all the time.
Right.
Together.
Boys will be boys, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the night of July 22nd of 2015, the boys, Michael and Robert, all the kids were getting ready for bed. So, all the kids, you know, and there's seven of them, getting ready for bed. April asks Crystal to go into Robert and Michael's room and ask them to do something, a chore, something.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Michael turns to Robert and says, "Is it time?" And Robert says, "Yes." And they had gotten Crystal to look at something on the computer. And when she was looking, they sprung.
They attacked her. So basically, they made her turn her back to him, and they just attacked her.
Right. She fought.
Yeah.
And she was cut pretty bad. They had slit her throat and everything, but she was able to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And run towards the front yard.
So did she get out of the house?
She got out of the house. As she was leaving the house, April, the mother,
mm-hmm.
hears the commotion and goes into the room, and they begin to attack her. And as Crystal is leaving the home, the front of the house, she hears her mother screaming.
Mm.
mm-hmm. and fighting. At some point, Crystal was brought back into the home, into the entrance, but they moved on next to David, who was coming down the stairs. That's the father. He was coming down the stairs and hearing the commotion.
Yeah, so he was already asleep.
Yeah,
he heard all this happening. It woke him up, mm-hmm. and he's coming downstairs to see what's going on.
He's coming to see what's going on. And they hit him quick and hard, and he dies instantly. They must have hit him in a major artery.
Yeah.
They were said to be proud of this. The boys were happy about this kill.
Yeah, during their interrogation, they actually said that it was a lucky shot. And, you know, they liked that they got that lucky shot and dropped him instantly right there on the steps.
Yeah. 12-year-old Daniel hears the commotion as well. After hearing his mother, his sister, and his father, and the brothers, you know,
mm-hmm.
he finds a phone, and he locks himself in the office, in his father's office, and calls 911. And he says to 911, please help. My brothers are attacking my family.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Michael, 16-year-old Michael, knocks on the door and tells Daniel, please let me in. He whispers it. He's going to kill me if you don't let me in.
Yeah, he baited him.
Yes.
Yeah.
He came in and Robert and Michael attacked Daniel and killed him in the office. 7-year-old Christopher and 5-year-old Victoria had locked themselves in a hallway bathroom after hearing the commotion as well.
Well, wait, let's go back to Daniel for a second, the 12-year-old that was locked in the office.
Yes.
So once Michael got in the office with him, he was on the phone with 911.
Right.
And the operators can be heard trying to talk to him. And all of a sudden, you just hear this crash, you know, and buzzing and in and out. And I understand it that... when Michael got in the room with him and Robert came in, Robert took the phone, threw it down, and stomped on it to destroy the phone to end the call.
Right.
So they baited their way in there with him and then tried to destroy the call or the phone to end the call, but it was too late at that point. 911 had all the markers of let's send somebody, mm-hmm. let's send them now. And so the dispatcher sent police. At that point.
Right. To the address. And I believe Daniel had given the address to them before.
Yeah, before they got in the room.
Right.
So the police are dispatched at this point, and then what happened?
While they were being dispatched and called to the scene, 7-year-old Christopher and 5-year-old Victoria had locked themselves in the hallway bathroom. And Michael thought, well, hell, it worked so well with Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. To Victoria and Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
And he knocks on the door and says the same thing, let me in or he's going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
They open the door and they are both killed there in the bathroom.
Mm.
Police come in very soon after that and they find 13-year-old Crystal in the front room. So as you walk in, maybe like a foyer or something,
mm-hmm.
she was there bleeding very heavily and there was blood throughout the house. So they just kind of followed the trail. Crystal was still alive, barely, but able to tell them that her brothers had done this.
Mm-hmm.
They first found, after finding Crystal, they found April and Daniel. Then they found David and had to kick open the bathroom door where 7-year-old Christopher and 5-year-old Victoria were.
Mm-hmm.
They found their bodies next. And upstairs, asleep in her crib, was 2-year-old Autumn, unharmed.
Mm-hmm. But now, none of this involved guns. Even though they'd bought and received all these guns and ammunition, this was all knife attacks.
Right.
Yeah, and they had a special plan for the baby.
Right. Thank God the police had showed up early. or before they got a chance to get to her. Not early enough, of course.
Yeah, they got there when they did.
They got there when they did. The boys had went out the back door and left it open. And the police were able to put the canine out the back door and instantly find them in a bush behind the house. When they were arrested, Robert, I believe, looked at Michael. It could have been the other way around, but I believe it was Robert that looked at Michael and said, good job, or nice working with you, or something to that extent. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure Robert was that guy because he was the mastermind, really. And I think Michael just kind of followed him through with most of this.
Well, Robert was 18 years old, and he was the one making the money and bringing it in. Now, when Michael was called in for questioning, at first he said, you know, I took no part in this. I did cut on a few people, but a few of them, but I didn't want to kill him. I just did it because I was told I had to, or Robert was going to kill me.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to do it.
Yeah.
I call bullshit. They wanted, the plan was to behead the baby with the machete. Their master plan behind all this was they had bought all this guns and all this ammunition. And on July 23rd of 2015, which would have been the next day after the murders, tons of guns and ammunition was dropped off at that address. And the plan was they were going to kill their entire family. They knew their mom and dad was not going to be okay with all this ammunition and all these guns. I mean, what the hell you need this for?
Right.
So they just decided to kill the whole entire family. They were going to dismember the family and put them in bins in the attic. Take the family, take their guns and all the ammunition they got, take the family vehicle, and go on a killing spree to Washington State. I really don't know what the hell was in Washington State that was so attractive for them, but that was their plan.
Yeah. So, was there anything unique that stood out to you in the interrogations or any of the trial work, or tell me a little bit about what you know about that.
Well, when this went to trial, 13-year-old Crystal was able to testify against the brothers. And we had talked a little bit about how the father was said to be somewhat abusive. I don't know if I've said that already, but if I haven't, he was said to be somewhat abusive and verbally and physically abusive both.
Yeah.
13-year-old Crystal testified that that is not true. I mean, there was some verbal and physical abuse there, but not to the extent of these murders.
Right.
Crystal survived, and 2-year-old Autumn survived. They were both adopted to the same family and are being raised together. Both the boys, Robert and Michael, pled not guilty at first. Later, Robert changed his plea to guilty to get out of the death penalty, but he did try to commit suicide in prison at one point. I believe that was in 2019. And he also attacked 2 guards at the same year, I believe, that he tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Michael, 16-year-old Michael, pled not guilty by reason of insanity, or tried to. That did not work for him. Both the boys were sentenced to 5 life sentences without the possibility of parole.
So did Michael, as a 16-year-old, was he tried as an adult?
He was tried as an adult. And several doctors and psychiatrists have come in and tried to figure out what the hell the problem was. They can't.
So they couldn't come up with any kind of conclusion as to why they acted the way they did?
No.
Was there wasn't any mental instability that caused this?
None.
No trauma, nothing?
No.
Wow. So these kids, it sounds to me like they just developed this fantasy.
Yeah, just evil.
Did anybody in the court or in the trial or anything try to blame this on, like, gaming? Or Because they were big into that. Well, they did a lot of it.
I'm sure the defense attorneys tried to pull some of the, you know, the mom kept them at home. They were reclused in the home. They had no social, you know.
But no development.
They,
yeah.
Really. But they were in church and they were around other people somewhat.
Yeah. I mean, Robert went out and worked. I mean, he wasn't the only one that showed up for work, I'm sure.
Right. And David went to work every day. And, you know, no matter what, this is horrifying. I mean, and you wonder the way kids sometimes complain about child abuse, if doctors are not able to find anything to pinpoint this and there's no chemical imbalances or trauma or, you know, major abuse in the home, what the hell? You know?
Well, seven kids and, you know, two of them seem to be affected by something and five of them were not.
Right.
You know,
right. So
that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, it, like I said, it sounded like these two got together and made up their own fantasy and just started acting it out.
Yeah.
And fought, like, they made it very clear that they idolized Columbine and the kids involved in that.
Yeah. And I can't remember exactly what those names were. The boys, Eric and.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But yeah, that was those two boys at Columbine were their heroes. And they reenacted that in their own home, which was their school, and they considered their prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, they're in prison now for the rest of their days, plus some.
Yes, they are.
So, well, it's interesting. It's sick. It's hard to believe that there are just sick people around. We don't want to think about that, but they're there.
Oh, they're
everywhere.
They're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was... That's the story of the Bever brothers, and they will always be located in prison for the rest of their life and five more.
Yeah.
So.
And this happened in 2015, in July of 2015,
right.
In Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, interesting. I enjoyed that.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, we'll see you again on the next one.
See y'all.
All right. Thanks, dear. This has been Walking Between Shadows. Again, I'm your host, Ben Elliott, and my wife, Taryn Elliott. Look for our next episodes coming soon, and don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button.